Hello, Zimbabwe. Welcome to Live Talk. We're coming to you live from Studio 7 at the Voice of America in Washington. I'm your host, Marvelous Mhlanganyahuye. And today on Live Talk, we are discussing the arrest of opposition party members of the CCC who have been continuously being harassed, either being beaten up, barred from holding gatherings, and arrested on and off throughout the country for politically motivated reasons. We'll also look at the treatment of some ZANU-PF members who have been arrested for rampant corruption in the country. But first, let's take a look at what is happening here in the United States. U.S. presidential candidates Joe Biden and Donald Trump are back on the campaign trail following their first debate last week. Biden's sometimes struggling performance in that debate has some members of his political party looking at who might replace him as their nominee. VOA correspondent, give us the report.
Donald Trump and Joe Biden were back on the campaign trail after last week's first debate, with Biden looking to reassure supporters that he's ready for a second term following an at times halting debate performance.
I give you my word as a Biden, I would not be running again if I didn't believe with all my heart and soul I can do this job. Because quite frankly, the stakes are too high.
Biden fundraising over the weekend was another chance for his campaign to push back against concern among some in the Democratic Party that his debate stumbles mean they should be looking for a new candidate.
If there were a new, a vigorous, younger Democratic nominee, I think people would take that opportunity in a minute to keep Trump out.
Trump said the debate showed this election is a choice between strength and weakness.
The question every voter should be asking themselves today is not whether Joe Biden can survive a 90-minute debate performance, but whether America can survive four more years of crooked Joe Biden in the White House.
Trump told a post-debate rally that he believes Biden will stay in the race.
Many people are saying that after last night's performance that Joe Biden is leaving the race. But the fact is, I don't really believe that because he does better in polls than any of the Democrats they're talking about.
Among the Democrats who some in their party are talking about possibly replacing Biden are his running mate, Vice President Kamala Harris, Governor of the key swing state of Michigan, Gretchen Whitmer, California Governor Gavin Newsom, Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear, and Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker. None of those Democrats is calling for replacing Biden. Switching candidates before their party's August convention would require Biden dropping out.
They would have to go to the White House and try to convince him, and he will be tough to convince. And they'll also have to try to convince Joe Biden, and that may be even tougher.
The First Lady told a post-debate rally that her husband showed he's America's best choice.
What you saw last night on the debate stage was Joe Biden, a president with integrity and character, who told the truth. And Donald Trump told lie after lie after lie.
Early post-debate polling by CBS News shows most Democrats believe Biden should still be their nominee. It's the political party's conventions that will have greater impacts with voters than debates, says Marquette University political science professor Julia Azari.
The sort of state-of-the-art research in political science about what sorts of events seem to drive vote intent and become increasingly sort of predictive of how people will vote in November, the conventions matter, but debates don't.
The Biden campaign held a post-debate conference call with Democratic National Committee members about the coming convention. Some committee members on the call told the Associated Press that it was an overly rosy assessment of Biden's path to re-election and largely ignored criticism of his debate performance. Scott Stearns, VOA News.
Thank you, Scott, for that report. And now let's move over to Ouagadougou. In Ouagadougou, the capital of Burkina Faso, an Italian expatriate runs a rather unique business for a foreigner, selling grilled pork, a highly appreciated dish. Gildas Daz has the story narrated by Azuma Campore.
When Boy Tarcisio came to Burkina Faso from Italy in 2014, he had plans to start a business renting trucks. When that failed, Tarcisio drew on his childhood experience eating and preparing grilled pork with his family in Italy and pivoted to selling the specialty in Burkina Faso. Tarcisio settled down permanently in Burkina Faso. He says he felt welcome here.
Je me suis trouvé bien, je sais, j'ai des amis, j'ai tout. J'ai pas trouvé difficulté à m'intégrer avec eux.
After moving to Ouagadougou, he married a Burkinabe woman and had children. Now, in his 50s, Tarcisio currently has 3 Burkinabe employees whom he has trained in the job.
Patron, il nous a appris comment il faut cuire le porc. Il y a beaucoup de choses aussi, beaucoup de techniques qu'il nous a appris aussi.
The struggle allows me to feed my family.
Souvent quand on a des difficultés aussi, il est tout le temps à côté. En tout cas, ça me permet beaucoup de nourrir ma famille. Bon, c'est un Italien, mais maintenant on dit qu'il est Burkinabé. Il n'est plus Italien.
Tarcisio's grilled pork is very popular among his customers in Ouagadougou. Prosper Sano has been enjoying Tarcisio's cooking for years.
Et pour la petite histoire, je peux vous dire quelque chose d'assez particulier. Mon épouse n'avait jamais mangé le cochon avant. Et lorsqu'elle a regardé la cuisson, finalement, elle a adhéré. Et bien voilà, elle mange depuis tout ce temps.
Tarcisio's business has been impacted by the ongoing war in the Sahel region nations of Burkina Faso, Mali, and Niger, which killed an estimated 12,000 people in 2023. But Tarcisio says he has no plans to return to Italy.
No. Je veux rester ici.
Je souhaite vraiment une chance à tout Burkinabé que cette guerre va finir tout de suite. Boy Tarcisio says he will keep doing what he loves and hopes for the war's end so that the economy and his business can grow and thrive. For Gildas Da in Ouagadougou, Burkina Faso, this is Azuma Compaoré.
Thank you, Azuma. President Emmerson Mnangagwa today said that he is looking forward to taking over the chairmanship of the Southern African Development Committee, SADC, next month from current chair, Angolan President João Lourenço. Speaking at the burial of retired Brigadier General Romeo Daniel Mutsunguma at the Heroes Acre in Harare today, he said the SADC chairmanship will be an opportunity for the country to boost its economic trade.
Next month, our nation will be hosting the SADC summit, where Zimbabwe will assume the chairmanship of SADC. This will see us consolidating, expanding, and diversifying the socio-economic development agenda of our region, as envisioned in the SADC industrialization agenda. Let us ready ourselves to welcome our guests to Zimbabwe, the world of wonder, with wide open arms and exhibit warm hospitality, enduring friendship, unity, and solidarity.
He went on to criticize the words, saying that the late retired Brigadier General Romeo Daniel Mutsunguma had the same beliefs.
As we continue building Zimbabwe and playing our part in regional and continental affairs, we reject hegemonic tendencies and intrusive foreign maneuvers by some West countries bent on sabotaging the rights of the people of Africa to true independent sovereignty. The spirit of Pan-Africanism and the flame of African independence remains alive. This is what the likes of our late national hero, Comrade Mutsunguma, and his peers in other liberation movements achieved through their selfless sacrifices. No amount of neo-colonial machinations or attacks will blunt our ability to pursue programs of empowering our historically disadvantaged communities.
That there was President Emmerson Mnangagwa at the Heroes Acre. For those that it is.
In times of change, when the world seems uncertain, and what we hear doesn't reflect what we see, we seek the truth. When we are told only part of the story, we lose trust. In moments of crisis, our dreams, hopes, and wishes for a better tomorrow depend on a free press. At Voice of America, we bring you the stories that people take risks to see. We connect the world and unite it with truth. At Voice of America, we show you the whole picture.
For those that have just joined us, please note that we are streaming live on all our Facebook pages, VOA Shona, VOA Studio 7, and VOA Ndebele. We're also live on YouTube at VOA Zimbabwe. And now back to our main topic. Today we're discussing the continued arrest of opposition party members for politically motivated reasons and the arrest of ZANU-PF members for corruption and how both party members are treated differently. They are currently over 78 members of the CCC that are in detention after they were arrested in Harare on June the 16th when they were celebrating the Day of the African Child. Some of them allege they were beaten up by and tortured by the police and have been denied bail. Two ZANU-PF members, Mike Chimombe and Moses Mpofu, are also in police custody after they were accused of corruption in a U.S. $40 million presidential gold scheme. They are currently awaiting their bail hearing. And to discuss this issue, we are joined by ZANU-PF's Masimba Mabaza, Tawanda Jokora, a political analyst aligned to the opposition, and Tendai Mbofana, a political analyst. Welcome to the program, Mr. Mabaza.
Welcome.
Your line is not very clear, so I think let's try you again.
Can you hear me now?
Yes. So, Mr. Mabaza, what's your take on allegations that when opposition party members are arrested, they are abused and treated unfairly in comparison to members of your party when they are arrested?
It's a statement which has been said several times, and it's a wrong statement. If you are content, the 78 members of the opposition who are in custody now, they were not tortured. They were injured by the government or by the police. Most of their injuries were caused when they were running away from the police, when they were jumping the jura walls, and they got injured. But in Zimbabwe, if you are arrested and you've committed a crime, you will all be treated the same. We have got Mike Chimombe, we have got Mpofu, they are all in custody. They have not been bail. Their bail hearing is pending, and they were denied bail by the magistrate. So they did not look at the point that Chimombe is a senator or Mpofu is a ZANU-PF member. It all was the same. They had looked at the meantime as suspected criminals until they are proven guilty. They're still innocent, but they will be in custody like any other person. And the 78 members of the opposition, yes, the numbers could be great because their crime needed a greater number. They have not been there because they are CCC. They are simply there because they've committed a crime. And we are sorry most of them got injured when they were trying to run away from justice. But we hope, we wish them a quick recovery, but justice must take its course. The refusal of bail has nothing to do with ZANU-PF. It has nothing to do with the government. It is entirely the aspect of law. So if the law takes long to award them a reprieve, it does not be visited upon the ruling party, neither will it be upon another person. So to say the truth here, there is nothing which is biased which has been done by ZANU-PF or the Zimbabwean government. Criminals are treated the way they are and nothing to do with their parties.
Over to you, Mr. Jokora. Do you think that the opposition party members are being treated unfairly when they are arrested as compared to those from the ruling ZANU-PF party? We have been watching and seeing what's been going on. What's your take?
Indeed, Mavelas, ZANU-PF has weaponized the law. They are using the law to control citizens, to restrict citizens so that citizens do not speak out. When citizens decide to speak out, as any citizen is supposed to do or allowed to do by the Constitution, ZANU-PF uses the law to shut us down, to shut the people down. ZANU-PF can have activities, they have their rallies, they have their programs, and they are never tampered with. But when Triple C or opposition members decide to gather, even in a private ceremony, they are harassed by the police. Like what happened, they were at the Honorable Timber's place. That is a private dwelling, a private house, where anyone can do what they want, but the police illegally broke into the yard, illegally broke into the house and started beating up people. They were not just running away. They were running away because they were being beaten up by the police. And we have seen this over and over again. Yesterday, we were having a ceremony, a tombstone unveiling ceremony, for our murdered comrade Oneni Nuve in Lower Gweru. And the police had roadblocks everywhere. They took away our members, arrested our members, and took away their vehicles. And they also did not allow the people of Lower Gweru to go and be at that ceremony. That was, again, a private ceremony. Should Zimbabweans now apply for a permit to bury their relatives? Should the Zimbabweans now apply for a permit to have a celebration, to have a wedding? I'm afraid that is where we are going. That is where we are heading. Before I land, Marvelous, I want to tell Zimbabweans about the story of Tambudzai Makokoro, one of the ladies from Chitungwiza, who was at Mr. Timber's house, whose leg was broken and was illegally thrown in jail. And unfortunately, lightning struck twice. Her son died. And she applied for a special condemnation so that she could go and bury her child. It was denied. In fact, everyone at the prison signed the papers, but they were told that Mr. Mnangagwa, I don't know what Mr. Mnangagwa would be doing in that instance, was also supposed to sign that paperwork. He did not sign it. That woman who is in jail right now could not pay her last respect to her son. This is cruelty in its fullest form, and it must stop.
Thank you there. Over to you, Mr. Mbofana, if you're on the line, Mr. Mbofana.
Yes, I am.
Thank you. Welcome to the program. What do you think of what we are seeing happening and also the contributions from both Mr. Jokora and Mr. Mavasa, who are speaking on two different hats? One is speaking, you know, geared towards the ruling party. The other is a part of the opposition. What's your take? You're right in the middle.
Yes, thank you very much, Marvelous. The truth is that the Zimbabwean government is shooting itself in the foot. And it's rather shocking that with only a month and a few weeks to go before taking over the standard chair, you'd expect the Zimbabwean government to at least, even if it's a matter of pretending, pretend to be democratic, pretend to respect the Constitution and the rule of law. But what we are seeing right now, it's an utter shock. In fact, we have never seen this amount of persecution of the opposition in quite a long time. And it's quite shocking why suddenly the government has become so vicious and vindictive against the opposition in such a manner, ahead of a very important regional gathering like the Southern African Development Community. Even last week, we heard the Minister of Information, we even heard the President himself issuing stern warnings to anyone who dare to demonstrate in Zimbabwe, as already mentioned, under Section 59 of the Constitution. Every Zimbabwean has the right to demonstrate peacefully. So what we should be hearing from the government of Zimbabwe is that reinforcing that constitutional right and say, yes, people of Zimbabwe, if you are not happy with the government, if you have got grievances to air, you are free to demonstrate as enshrined and protected in the Constitution, but do it peacefully, because that is what is demanded by the law. We are not hearing that. All we are hearing is that the government is already threatening that anyone who dares to participate in demonstrations, the law will be there and will descend upon them heavily. So that means that shows that we've got a government that does not respect the rule of law. The right to demonstrate is enshrined. The right to assembly is enshrined in the Constitution. So on what basis are we to see people in a private dwelling, like what we saw at Jameson Timber's house, being arrested for what? They did not need to apply for a permit to gather. What evidence did the police so far produce to support that there was something nefarious being organized today? So that's where you see this selective application of the law. Right now, we have people who have been fingered in corruption, like Whitney Ochivayo. He's walking freely. But we see that the government of Zimbabwe is willing to arrest people before even investigations are conducted. We saw that with even opposition leader Job Sikala. He's languished in prison for nearly 2 years, and yet the state will be requesting for more time to investigate. Now, investigate while the person is incarcerated and repeatedly denied bail. What about Chivayo? Why is he not being arrested while the state is investigating? So you see that there is this duplicity. When we look at, yes, there's been a mention of Mpofu and Chimombe, they're saying ZANU-PF members, they've been arrested. But no, we need to dig deeper into this issue. At the moment, I don't think they are the favorite with the ZANU-PF. Because of what they did, they exposed Whitney Ochivayo. That's why this whole thing started, with their letter, where they were complaining that from their agreement with the Zimbabwe Electoral Commission, the money that was supposed to be shared among them was taken, was given to Ochivayo instead, and they got nothing. That's where the whole issue started. And that's where this whole fake corruption issue, the 100 million issue came out. So for us to then conclude that the reason supposed to be this fairness in how we the country is treating these people is wrong, is erroneous. Chimombe and Mpofu were arrested in spite of being ZANU-PF members, but they were arrested as a way of silencing them so that and punishing them, in fact, for exposing Chivayo, who we know is very close to the president, is always seen with the president. That is an open secret. And from what we have heard so far with the deals that were done within the Zimbabwe Electoral Commission, there are very high people involved, the office of the president, the chairperson of the bank itself, director general of this. So these people are not being questioned. There's nothing that we are hearing regarding that issue. The all of us in Chimombe and Mpofu are being fingered in a gold scheme. The ZEC issue has been forgotten. It's completely been silent now. So let's not say because it shows that there is fairness in the delivery of justice in Zimbabwe. These two are now being victimized for what they did in regard to Chimombe. But I mean in regard to Chivayo. So in a nutshell, what I can say is that there is no fairness in how the law is being applied in Zimbabwe. Anyone who is perceived to be against the government or working against some in the ruling elite, even if that person is part of the ZANU-PF, is punished using the law. That's why it's being termed as weaponization of the law or warfare. And that the law is being used as a weapon for vindictiveness, for punishing those that are perceived to be working against the ruling elite.
Thank you there, Mr. Mbofana. Toya kwa muri vamavasa, muri kunzwa zvirikutaura na vambofana. Vari kutaurawo pfungwa dzavo pamusoro pezva tiri kuona zviri kuitika munyika zvekusungwa kwevanhu vangange vari vekumapatsa anopikisa kana vekubato renyimi vezanopievo. Munotiine zvavanga vari kutaura?
Ndakanga chekuti vambofana vazoti edarike nero michana vakutaura nenyaya elections. Handiyo yatuga nezvainhasi. Alisa nanya yekuti wana wano kwansa kusarudza, kana kusasarudza waka sununguka. Nekuti wana wezida kwa gara wano sarudza waka sununguka. Ilo alisa tabuziko. Ichepiri ndilo sana ngura kuti, panyaze mutemo muZimbabwe, kuna wano tongwa ne mosha ni kuda kekuti abambamani. Unutongwa ne mosha ni kuda kemosha ya wapara. Wambo fana wata wala pamsoro pa wati vayo. Wati vayo, awasati wa sungwa, awasati wa batuwa ne mosha. Awasati varatidzwa mhosva chayo chayo yavari kunzi vakapara. Chakangoitika kuna vachivhanzi chekuti vakangotaurisa vakawanza muromo vakawanza mashoko. Asi hakuna chinobatika chavakataura chinganzi ngavasungwe vaende kujeri. Kunze kwekunge kutoti mapurisa vambofereferta vakadaidzwa vachivhayo kuti vaende kuZaki vambonoongororwa nekubva mibvunzo yakawanda. Havasati vadzokerako. Asi vachaendako, vachasvikako, tichazonzwa nevaferefeti kana kuti matikitiza kana vaongorori vemhosva vekuZaki kuti vanoti kudii nekuda kwavachivhayo. Apa munoona kuti vamamombe vachimombe na vampofu vakabatwawo havana kubatwa nemhosva asi vakasungwa nekuti pane umbowo huripo hunoratidza kuti kana ikapinda mudare. Vanogona kubatwa nemhosva. Ndozvaita kuti vabatwe vagovharirwa. Vachapiwawo kana vachikwanisa kupiwa mari yechibatiso. Inongouya chete kana mutongi agutsikana kuti vanhu munhu iyeye anozodzoka here kudare. Anozotongwa here asina kutiza. Haazonetsana vachapa umbo here kana vatingati mawitness. Saka hakuna mutsauko watingati there is a big difference pakati pemunhu anenge asungwa ari werimwe bato kana kuti ari webato rezanupf. Mupurisa haabvunze kadhi rebato rako, anobvunza zita rako. Mupurisa haana basa kuti uri webato ripi, asi anongorine basa nemhosva yawapara. Nekuti wakaipara chirudzii, pane umboo here, unokwanisa here kuregererwa kana kuenda kujeri. Kwenisa kujeri haasi mpurisa vatongi. Ende vatongi havasi veZANU-PF, havasi vehurumende, vakazvimirira vega. Vane bato riya kana kuti muchikamu chevatongi chiri pato chega. Chisinei nehurumende, chisinei nebato reZANU-PF. Asi vane vatongi vakazvimirira voga, havasi influenswe nebato. Saka hakuna bato rine simba pamusoro pevatongi vemuZimbabwe.
Tinotenda vadzokora chitipaiwo mazwenyu ekupedzisira tozopa vambofana mukana. Munoona kuti zvii zvingaitwa kuti tione zviri kuitika izvi zvichipera?
Dambudziko riripo maverazi nderekuti ZANU-PF vamunangagwa vari kutambisa vana veZimbabwe bhora risina mweya. Zvese zviri kuitika izvi mafanizi, hakuna chinobuda pakusungwa kwevanhu ava. Tinovaziva vanhu veZANU vanoita iya inonzi catch and release. Hapana chinobuda ndinodaro nekuti vamunangagwa panyaya dzese dziri kutaurwa idzi vamunangagwa vari kunongedzerwa kuti vanenge varipo. Saka toziva kuti hakuna kwazvinosvika, nekuti kana kuine kwazvinosvika chaizvo ivo nevana vavo vanopedzisira vave mujeri.
Thank you so much. Unfortunately, Mr. Mbofana, we won't be able to bring you back. And that brings us to the end of our show. Signing off in Washington, I'm Marvelous Msanganyahuye saying have a very good night.